day is at hand. A little boy and his lamb make their way to the tabernacle door. As the lamb was led away, a tear streamed down his face as he watched from a distance. You could hear him say, "My little lamb, you cannot stay. For my sin, the price you must pay, a sacrifice that is so great. My little lamb, you must go away." God looked down from heaven's throne. He saw us hopeless and alone. To redeem us, he would have to send his Son. As Jesus left that holy place, a tear streamed down God's face. All of heaven then grew silent. You could hear him say, "My precious lamb, you cannot stay. Man, to redeem the price you must pay. My only Son, I will give away. My precious lamb, you must go today. Oh, hallelujah, praise the Lamb. Hallelujah, praise the Lamb.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Tony. I appreciate it. Let's take our Bibles tonight to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. You thought I was going to say chapter 11, didn't you? But we're going to go to chapter 5 tonight. And I want to bring something to your attention that I think will be a little bit different than what we, different approach than what we, not different approach, but just an extra lesson for us to learn from this observance of the Lord's table. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, I'm not hearing this microphone real good through the monitor speaker right now. Tom, if you could help with that just a tad bit. My throat's a little, my voice is a little scratchy. If you found 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and you are able to stand, let's do that in honor of God's word. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 6. Verse number 6 of 1 Corinthians chapter 5. We're picking it up in the middle of the chapter, but we'll explain this in just a moment. The Word of God says, "Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." I want to speak tonight on those three words in verse number 7, Christ, our Passover. Christ, our Passover. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. We thank you for the privilege to enjoy this service. Thank you for the wonderful song that we just heard about the Lamb. We'll be speaking about that very subject tonight. And I pray that you'll speak to our hearts from your book. Fill us both speaker and listener with your power. so that you can accomplish what you want to in our hearts and lives tonight. Draw us closer to you, Lord, because we are observing this ordinance in this service is my prayer. And I pray it in Christ's name and amen. Thank you and be seated. The ordinance of the Lord's Supper is so important for a church to consistently observe. Now, we're not told in the Bible how often to observe it. It just says as oft as you do it. And so a church, a local church, has the privilege of deciding how often they will observe the Lord's Supper. I believe the most important thing is that it's done consistently, and we're a little bit off of our normal Sunday night routine because of the things that are going on with the COVID. I'll go ahead. This is just not working, and I'm sorry it's not. But we'll go right here tonight. That'll be a better. This was not coming through the monitors anyway, and so we're still making some adjustments there with our sound. Now, there are so many positive influences associated with this ordinance that help a church. And one of those influences is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I want to talk about it tonight. Let me give you a little bit of the setting and just a little bit of reminder of all that takes place here at the Lord's Supper. The first Lord's Supper was hosted by Jesus himself during the Passover week celebration in Jerusalem. Now, the Passover was a very important time for the Jewish people. For them, it was a time of remembrance. And they were to remember the deliverance of their people from the land of Egypt. Now, most of you are familiar with this. Moses had given them instructions back in the land of Egypt now. Moses had given them instructions from God as to how they were to prepare for and observe the Passover. And it was called the Passover because of what took place that night in the land of Egypt. So without going into all the details, you remember they were supposed to take a lamb. That lamb had to be without spot. That lamb had to be without blemish, because that earthly lamb was a picture of the heavenly Lamb of God, okay? So it had to be without spot or blemish. They killed it. They roasted it, and then they ate it. And they were to take the blood of that lamb, and using hyssop, they were to apply the blood to the lintel and the door posts of the door of their house. Now, they were also supposed to eat the lamb completely dressed and ready to go, with their shoes on and their bags packed, so to speak, because God was going to do more than just save them from the wrath of his judgment. He was going to deliver them from the land of Egypt, set them loose. And so at midnight, the Lord passed through the land, inspecting every door of every house for the protective blood of the Lamb. People, if the blood had not been applied, then the Lord smote the firstborn child in that house. If the blood had been applied, the Lord passed over the house and the firstborn child was safe. Hence, the remembrance of that night was called the Passover. The Passover. It was a horrible judgment. It was the wrath of God on the Egyptian people and those who refused to apply the blood to the door. But remember that God had given them many warnings. And they had been told, Pharaoh had been told how many times? Let my people go. Let my people go. They had ignored God's command and they paid for it dearly. Okay? So that's the setting of the Passover. Now look at verse number 7. Look what Paul told them. He said, for even Christ, our Passover. So Christ Jesus, you remember when he was introduced by John the Baptist to the multitudes that were at the River Jordan. John pointed his finger at Jesus Christ and said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So Christ became the Passover Lamb, whose blood, now don't miss this, protects people from the judgment of God's wrath on our sin. Just as that earthly lamb, just as the blood of that earthly lamb was applied to the door of the house, so the blood of God's heavenly lamb must be applied to our hearts. And just as the blood of the earthly lamb protected them from the wrath of God's horrible judgment, so the blood of God's heavenly Lamb protects us from the wrath of God's horrible judgment of hell. Protects us from that wrath. So my question tonight for you, has the blood of Jesus Christ, the spotless heavenly Lamb of God, been applied to your heart? Has it been applied to your heart by a conscious decision to trust the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone as your personal Savior? It's not adding Jesus to church membership. It's not adding Jesus to baptism. It's not adding Jesus to trying to be good. It's Jesus, His death, His burial, His resurrection, period. That's it. That's the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And when you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior by trusting in His death, burial, and resurrection, figuratively, the blood of the Passover Lamb of God is applied to your heart, and that blood never washes away. I love that song. Is the blood still there? Go tell a little boy, went and took a look, and the blood was still there. And I want to tell you something. When the blood is applied to the heart of a person who trusts in Christ as Savior, that blood is not going away, and that blood protects us from the wrath of God's judgment of hell. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? That's the question tonight. Now, the Lord's Supper is a reminder. Taking this bread tonight in your hand and putting it in your mouth, eating it, swallowing it. Taking that cup of juice, and it's not fermented alcohol, it's pure grape juice. Taking that cup of juice and drinking it does not save your soul. Does not wash your sins away. We do not believe in that because it's not Bible doctrine. This only is symbolic. It's only an observance to remind us that Jesus paid an awful price for our sin to be forgiven. The Lord's Supper is a reminder that the Lamb of God paid our sin debt by taking our sin in His own body to the cross. And He died there by the shedding of blood, spotless blood, to pay for that sin debt. And this ordinance is to cause us to remember the price that Jesus paid so that we could be saved. That's what He said in 1 Corinthians 11. This do in remembrance of me. This do in remembrance of me. Don't forget the price I paid so you could be free from God's wrath and God's judgment. Now, there's another influence from this ordinance that I want to bring to your attention. That's why we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. In the verses that we read, verses 6, 7, and 8, if you paid attention there, you notice that the word leaven is used in some form 7 times. That's 7 times in 3 verses that God had Paul use the word leaven, leaveneth, unleavened, 7 times in 3 verses. This also takes us back to that special night in the land of Egypt long ago. Because as they observed that meal that was to become known as the Passover, they were instructed to eat the lamb with unleavened bread. Unleavened bread. This special occasion became an annual observance for the Jews. They were to observe the Passover night every year, but they were to make it a week-long observance. The Passover was not specifically just that one night. It was a week-long observance. And on the first day of that special week, you know what the Jews were supposed to do? Get rid of any leaven in their houses. Get the leaven out. Get it out of that. No leaven was allowed in the house for that week. Get rid of it. Get it out of the house altogether. Now, why was that part of the observance? People, listen very carefully, because this is the crux of what I'm saying tonight. Not only was the Passover salvation for the Jews from the wrath of God, it was also separation from the land of Egypt. It was both. The children of Israel had been in the land of Egypt 430 years. They had become integrated into the land of Egypt, the culture of Egypt, the morals of Egypt, the values of Egypt. You know what Egypt's a picture of? Egypt's a picture of the world. God's people don't live by the world's values. And God's people don't live by the world's standards. And God's people don't live by the world's morals. We live by the standards and the morals and the values of God's Word. And so, not only on that night were they saved from the wrath of God's judgment, their firstborn child didn't die. Their firstborn child was spared because of the blood of that lamb. But it didn't stop there. It separated them from the world. That was it. I mean, Pharaoh told them after the cry arose and the Egyptian people were screaming and weeping because their firstborn children were dead. Pharaoh came to Moses and Aaron, "Get out! Get out of here! Get gone!" And God did more than just protect His people from His wrath. He separated His people from the land of Egypt. So again, I say the Passover was both their salvation from the wrath of God and it was their separation from the world in which they lived. So why does Paul make mention of that? In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, well, do you remember what's going on in 1 Corinthians 5? Remember what he's dealing with? He's dealing with a horrible sin issue in one of the church members' lives. And that, so far, there was no repentance on the part of this man who was in sin. And Paul is telling the church, the unrepentant sinner must go. The unrepentant church member has to be cut out of the fellowship and the membership of the local church there in Corinth. Because as he is telling the church, that unrepentant church member is like leaven. He's like leaven. And leaven has to be cut out. It's a picture of sin, and it has to be cut out. You can't have any leaven, because a little leaven leavens the whole lump. You ladies who bake, you understand that, making those biscuits, you put that yeast in the dough for the purpose of what? Making it rise. Makes it a little, what, less, makes it a little lighter, and makes that dough look not quite as heavy. And you put that yeast in there, and it doesn't take much to make the whole lump of dough rise. Now look, another influence of the Lord's Supper is to remind us that we have been separated from the world by the blood of the Lamb of God. And that's why he says in verse number 7, I'm going to bring all, I think it'll all come clear in just a minute, okay? That's why he says in verse number 7, for even Christ, he says, purge out therefore the old leaven. This unrepentant member of the church has got to be purged out, that ye may be a new lump as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. What's he saying? He said, for that purpose did Christ become our Passover lamb. Christ didn't become our Passover lamb only to save us from wrath. Christ became our Passover lamb to separate us from the world. Been saying over and over again, salvation is more than a fire escape from hell. That's all some people treat it as. Well, thank God I'm saved. Now I'm just going to go out and live like I want to. Chapter and verse. Where's that in the Bible? You won't find it anywhere in the New Testament or the Old for that matter. This matter of grace is being abused. I want to tell you something, friend. Listen very carefully. God's purpose in the Passover lamb, His Son, Jesus, becoming the Passover lamb. Yes, it was to save us from His wrath. But it was more than that. It was to cut us loose, to separate us from the world. Now, this is what I wanted to see, and this is what I want you to see in verse number 8. Look at what he says here. He says, therefore, let us keep the feast. You know what he's talking about there? He's talking about the Lord's Supper. He's not talking about a potluck dinner. He's talking about the Lord's Supper. They might have had COVID back then. They couldn't have any potluck suppers, okay? But anyway, he's not talking about the potluck supper. He's talking about the Lord's Supper. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, not with worldliness, not with carnality. You've been cut out of the world. You've been set free from the world. We don't need to come keep the supper, observe the supper, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Look, that Paul said, let's keep the feast with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth, not with the leavened bread of malice and wickedness. People, there is no way the church should allow an unrepentant sinner whose immorality had become common knowledge. That's what happened in chapter 5. Paul said in verse number 1 that it is reported commonly. The people of Corinth who didn't even go to church knew that this man was living wickedly. And he was still attending the services of the church. And there's no way an unrepentant sinner whose immorality had become common knowledge should be allowed at the Lord's table. That's what he's saying. Now you're all worried I'm going to kick somebody out of the church tonight. That's not where I'm headed. It's not where I'm headed. Not at all. But I want to tell you this. There is a responsibility to the church. There is a responsibility to the church that the church has to take by the horns and sometimes use. And that is when you have unrepentant people living in commonly reported sin. That has to be dealt with. Especially the kind of sin that this man was had going on in his life. This horrible, horrible, immoral sin. But here's the point. Paul said not only wickedness, not with the leaven of malice and wickedness. He said not with the leaven of malice. Now, why did he mention malice? I'm going to tell you why. Because there was a division in the church over how that sinner was being treated. Some people thought he should go. Some people thought he shouldn't go. And there was malice and there was division. There was a bitter, divisive spirit over this unrepentant sinner. And Paul said, church, it's not right for you to come to the Lord's Supper with the worldly sin of malice in your heart. The blood of the Lamb of God has separated you from the sins of this world. The blood of the Lamb of God has set you apart, has sanctified you. Do not bring the sin of malice to the Lord's table. Don't bring your worldliness to a table which pictures the sacrifice that cut you free from the world. That's what he's saying here. That's what he's saying. Now, all this to say that we are to remember the blood of the Lamb of God. We're to remember it saves us from God's wrath. And we are to remember that it separates us from the sin of this world. The power of the blood that is represented by this cup of juice tonight, it has power to forgive us from the penalty of sin. That's the wrath of God being separated from Him forever in the place called hell. But it has more power than that, people. It has power to set us free from the power of sin in our lives. We don't have to live a worldly life. God's people shouldn't live a worldly life. And it's getting crazier and crazier and crazier. I mentioned to you this guy on the radio up here in WLS in the morning, Mancal. Now, if you're a conservative, politically conservative guy, you'd enjoy listening to him. But if you want to be a spiritual Christian, you couldn't listen to him for 3 minutes. He's filthy. And at the same time talks about how he loves to go worship God at some church in Munster, Indiana. Look, folks, blessing and cursing cannot come forth out of the same lips. Something's bad wrong with that man. Either he's not saved, or if he is, he for sure has not had the influence of the power of the death of Jesus Christ to separate him from worldliness. But my worry tonight is not that radio host. My worry tonight is you and me. It's us. What worldliness are we bringing to this table? What are we bringing to this table? Worldly music in our lives? Worldly morals? What's going on with the television? So you shouldn't meddle with that at the Lord's Supper service. Why not? This sacrifice was not only to keep us out of hell. This sacrifice was to cut us free from the world. What's in the refrigerator? Alcohol? What's in the refrigerator? What kind of jokes do you tell at work? What kind of gossip on the phone? What kind of critical spirit? We're supposed to be cut free from this, folks. We're supposed to be delivered from that. Now, none of us are going to live a perfect life. None of us are going to be totally sanctified until we see Jesus Christ with our eyes and we are given that glorified body. Then and only then will we become totally sanctified, set apart. But we should be allowing the Spirit of God through the power of the sacrifice that Christ made for us. We should be allowing the Spirit of God to set us apart and sanctify us more and more and more until we see the Lord Jesus Christ. And we sure should not bring worldliness to the table of the Lord. Don't come tonight to this table with worldliness in your heart and your life. What are you watching? What are you reading? What are you looking at when nobody's around? What are you thinking about? Is your mind good, fellas? Are you okay? You say, wait, I thought this was an observance of the Lord's Supper. It is. It is. It's exactly that. Because that night down in Egypt, they were not only delivered from the wrath of God's judgment, they were set free from the land of Egypt. His sacrifice was given in order to empower us to deal with the sin in our lives. The blood of the Lamb was given so that I could deal with the sin in my life. The blood of the Lamb was shed so that you could deal with the sin in your life. You said, I already did that. When I trusted Christ as my Savior, I got saved. Yes, you were justified. But now, this business of being sanctified is an ongoing process. And that's done by the work of the Holy Spirit through the power of the sacrificial blood of the Lamb of God. Don't bring worldliness to the table. Don't bring it. His sacrifice was so that we could live holy. That's a good Bible word. Holy. I get weary sometimes of this worldly carnal worship. And I see a lady in a knee-length dress. They call her a holy roller. I say amen. I'm weary of that. We're to live holy. We're to live righteously. We're to live godly. Not in the church auditorium on Sunday. But Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we've been cut loose. We've been severed. His sacrifice was so that we could be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Young people, what groups are you listening to in your music? How's your attitude toward your parents? Are you bringing rebellion to the Lord's table tonight? I'm sorry. Don't bring that to the Lord's table. The blood of Christ was shed so that you could be set free from that. Folks, I'm just saying, look, there's more to the Christian life than a fire escape from hell. It's all pictured there in the book of Exodus when the children of Israel came out of the land of Egypt. They were spared the wrath of God, spared the death of their firstborn, spared His judgment by the blood of that Passover lamb. But they were also separated to Him by the same blood of that same Passover lamb. Church, we come around the table tonight. Let's rejoice. Let's rejoice that we've been saved from the wrath of God. But you know what we all need to do as well? Let's repent. Let's repent. Let's repent from the sins of this world that we've been dabbling in, that we've been set free from. We've been cut loose from those things. So let's repent. It would be wrong to rejoice in our salvation from sin while not dealing with our separation from sin. Are you listening to me tonight? That's what this table is all about. You know, there's a beautiful hymn, old hymn called Rock of Ages. We sing it from time to time. And the songwriter, talking about the blood of the Lamb, wrote these words, that the blood of the Lamb, about the blood of the Lamb. He said, be of sin the double cure. The double cure. You know what he had? He had an understanding of what I'm talking about tonight. He knew that the power and the blood of the Lamb of God spared us from God's wrath. But he also understood that the power and the blood of the Lamb of God separated us from a worldly, carnal life. Let the blood tonight be the double cure for our sin. The blood of the Lamb is the cure that saves us from the wrath of God. It is the cure that separates us from the sin of the world. Now, you know what you and I have the opportunity to do tonight? Before this bread is passed and before this juice is passed, we have the opportunity in our seats, or even here at the altar if you want to, for a moment, to bow our heads and talk to the God, our God, the Father in heaven, and repent of any worldliness. Now, let me ask you this. Let me tell you this. Don't sit there and say, oh, God, forgive me, and then plan to go out tomorrow and do the same thing all over again. That's not the purpose of forgiveness. The purpose of forgiveness is to clean us up and set us on a path not to walk that way anymore. I'm going to tell you, listen, God's people are being inundated with a barrage of ungodliness from this world. And it takes a conscious effort to make sure that our hearts stay clean and right, and that we attempt in the power of God to live holy in this present world. This present world. And this sacrifice, the sacrifice that this represents, makes that possible. Makes it possible. And as this world careens further and further and further into ungodliness, you know what that's going to make us? Stick out like a sore thumb. But that's all right. That's all right. Because if you're saved, you've been cut loose. Cut loose from the power of this world. Let's pray together tonight. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll help us as your people to have the right approach tonight to your table. Lord, clean our hearts tonight. Wash us. Lord, if there's an issue that needs to be dealt with in our hearts, an issue of worldliness that we've not addressed, I pray that even tonight, in the few quiet moments we'll have here as the invitation song is played, I pray that we will address those matters. Lord, maybe there's somebody tonight who needs to repent of what they've been listening to or looking at. Maybe there's a relationship that's fractured that, Lord, needs to be put back together. I don't know. But God, I pray that we would understand how powerful the sacrifice of Christ was and is powerful enough to deliver us from the wrath of God, and is powerful enough to separate us from the world. Help us, O God, to purpose to live a sober and righteous and godly life in this present world. Wash us tonight. Cleanse us. Help us to come to the table in the right heart attitude, I pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's stand together. And our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And if you're not saved, listen, this is the perfect opportunity for you to come and follow the Lord and believe it, end up. Talk to one of these men and let them have somebody take a Bible and show you how to be saved. But child of God, if you are saved, here's another opportunity for you to examine your heart and ask God to help you to live free from the sins of this world. We're not going to be totally sanctified until we see Christ. But Christian people can sure do a lot more in some cases than they have been doing in this area. May God help us tonight to come to the table washed, clean in our hearts, ready to observe this all-important time. Father, bless the invitation. Work in the hearts of your people as only you can. I pray it in Christ's name. Our pianist begins to play tonight for just a few moments. And if you want to take a moment there in your seat or here at the altar, you come tonight. And you deal with that. Purge out the old leaven. You're a new lump. Purge it out tonight. Cut it out. Ask God to forgive you. Ask God to wash you. Ask God to clean you. What's the Holy Spirit of God putting His finger on tonight? Let Him deal with it in your heart and life. The blood that was shed on Calvary saves you not just from the wrath of God's judgment, but it separates you from this world's values, morals. Let the blood of Christ do a work in your heart. As they play the final verse of the song, I'm going to ask the men who have been asked to serve the supper tonight to come and take their place. Please prepare to serve this observance. Father, we commit this time to You and pray that You'll use it in our hearts and lives, Lord, not only to cause us to remember the price that Jesus paid so that we could be saved from the wrath of Your judgment. But Lord, help us to remember the price He paid when He died was also meant to deliver us from the sin of this world. God, help us, I pray, to deal with that in our hearts. And I'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name and amen. Thank you. Be seated. And because of the just trying to practice a little bit of health consciousness, the men will not pass the plates tonight. They will bring the plate to you. They're all wearing gloves, and they will serve you a piece of bread. This is your first time to observe the Lord's table with us. As they pass the bread, if you are participating tonight, you take a piece of bread, hold on to it. That bread represents the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll read a verse on that in just a second. And after everybody is served, then we'll come back and the men will return and we'll have somebody thank the Lord Jesus for going to the cross and bearing our sins in His own body upon the tree. And then we'll repeat that process with the juice. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 24, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. This bread is symbolic of His body. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is My body, which is broken for you." And He said this, "This do in remembrance of Me." This is not the time to sit and look on your cell phone, at your text messages. This is not the time to sit and look around the auditorium at who's wearing what. This is a time to sit and remember that Christ suffered a brutal death on the cross of Calvary so that our sin debt could be paid. You know what He said? "Don't forget Me. Don't forget Me." That's what this time is for tonight. I'll ask the ladies to play. playing that beautiful song, 333, Calvary Covers It All. Find that in your songbook near where you're sitting, and let's sing a couple of verses as they finish serving out the bread tonight, far dearer than all that the world can impart. Let's sing it together. Far dearer than all that the world can impart was the message that came to my heart. How that Jesus alone for my sins did atone, and Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers it all. My past with its sin and stain, my guilt and despair, Jesus took. Yes, and Calvary covers it all. You sing the fourth now. Finish it up. How piece of bread is only symbolic. Well, it's symbolic of something precious, isn't it? Symbolic of the body of Jesus Christ. That little picture that's hanging on the wall with that little drop of blood here and a little drop of blood here. Little drop of blood on his feet and just a little trickle here. That's ridiculous. Isaiah says his visage was marred more than any man. You couldn't tell it was a man. Body was ripped to shreds. Beard pulled out of his face by their hands. You know what all that was, folks? That was all judgment on our sin. For my sin, for your sin. He shouldered it. He shouldered it all to the cross. And God on that cross poured out his wrath that should be poured out on you and me, on his precious only begotten Son. And that's what this piece of bread pictures. It pictures the body of our Lord Jesus, who bore our sins to the tree and paid the price for our debt on that cross. Before we eat the bread, I'd like to ask Ryan, would you stand tonight? Just thank Jesus for going to the cross and bearing our sins in his own body. Yes. 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 Amen. And amen. The Bible says in verse 25, after the same manner also he took the cup when he had prayed, when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament, my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." When the men pass the juice tonight, as I said earlier, it won't be fermented alcoholic juice. It'll be pure fruit of the vine, because it represents the pure, spotless blood of the Holy Lamb of God. When you take that cup in your hand, you remember that he died by shedding every drop of blood for the payment of our sin. Ladies, you play. Thank you. you need the words, it's 247, the great old song they're playing. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. What a wonderful time to lift your voice tonight. Worship your God and praise the Lord Jesus for His shed blood. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. We'll sing it together to the church tonight. Lift it up and sing it now. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. Now ransomed from sin, a new work begun. Sing praise to the Father and praise to the Son. Cause I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one. Verse 3 has that great line in it, great price of my pardon, His own precious Son. We're singing together, saved by the blood, the crucified one, the Father. Guilt is all gone. Now go live like it. Go live like it. Live up to what Christ has done for us. Saved us from God's wrath. And set us free from the sin of the world. So let's go live like it. In appreciation for what Christ did by shedding His blood on the cross. Brother Ben Temple, would you thank the Lord Jesus for going to the cross and shedding His blood for our sin, please, sir. Amen. If you would, please, just hang on to your cup. The men are going to come by with these baskets. Take your hymn book and let's stand and go to 340. The Bible says that after they observed this supper, they sang a hymn and went out. And I can't think of a better song tonight than the old rugged cross. So let's stand together as the men come and take up the cups in the little baskets so we don't make a mess. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. We'll end the service tonight with this song. Let's lift it up from our hearts together. You know it. Here we go. On a hill stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for Amen. Till my throne last I lay down, I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Shake hands with somebody and be thankful tonight for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You're dismissed.